He is 37 years old. He'll be 38 in a couple of months in September. Swings and misses, strike three. Good fastball got him.
I mean, heck of a job. You know, he's had a couple of big outings. He's pitching wonderfully. And, you know, it's a game on the other side of the coin where he puts the rest of our bullpen in a good position. And those are big outings. And Chris has just done a wonderful job.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Good Saturday morning. Here in Chicago, David Haw, Bruce Levine, Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Thank you to The Score for that highlight of Chris Flexen, our next guest who joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Good morning, Chris. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
Doing well. And last night was a rough one for the Cubs. You've now been on both sides of the equation for the Crosstown Classic Series. Great atmosphere for baseball. Electric. The feelings and the vibes in there, a lot of intensity. How quickly can you guys bounce back from something like that? It was a rough one.
Yeah, you know, the atmosphere was great, always has been. You know, being on the other side last year, you know, playing in both, you know, those were probably the biggest crowds we had for the White Sox last year, so it was pretty exciting. And you know, being on the north side now, tough to be on the losing end, tough one. But yeah, you know, those games happen, and you know, I think we've done a good job being able to kind of turn the page and move on from those, and you know, get ready to compete. And we got two more coming up, and still a chance to win the series.
Chris, can you define the difference between Cub and White Sox fans? You would be the expert right now.
The fans individually. Man, it's Chicago baseball, especially when you bring both of them in the same stadium. I know it gets intense, gets a little rowdy. You know, I've saw some unfortunate crowds on the White Sox side, and you know, I've seen some great ones as well. And then I've seen some great ones on the north side. So tough to compare, but I know when you put both of them in the same stadium, it gets intense and gets rowdy.
Chris, I wonder if you could speak to this from a veteran's perspective, because you know how the noise is outside of the clubhouse and the trade deadline is nearing. So there's speculation everywhere about guys who might be coming, guys who might be going. From your perspective, and even though you might not be involved in a lot of these rumors this year, I wonder if you've been through that kind of dynamic and what the secret is for guys who might be the object of some speculation to block it out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just something that's part of the game. And, you know, I think being able to focus on the task at hand, and that's just competing, winning games, and trying to win series, when you're able to just keep your focus on that, you know, that helps you kind of block out all the extra noise. And, you know, kind of with the deadline coming up and with trades, like, stuff happens, it happens. It's kind of almost out of your control. And, you know, if you get caught up and wrapped up in that, you know, then it becomes just an extra distraction. So the more you can focus on task at hand and staying in the moment with the team there and focus on winning games, I think that's something that truly helps.
Watching pitchers like yourself, Chris, from spring training on and even last year with the White Sox, I enjoy the idea the most of a guy that's a real craftsman, a guy that is looking to improve every single day, not just every single year, and what it takes to continue to be a good major league pitcher and get major league hitters out. What has that dynamic been like with the Cubs since spring training and, you know, Tommy Hotovy and the pitching people being a part of that?
Yeah, I think the experience has been great. You know, I think they saw something in me that they thought, you know, they can get the most out of, and, you know, pinpointing like the arm slot change and kind of getting back to a spot where I was in the past. I think that's kind of helped with a little uptick in velo at times and a little more consistency. You know, I was able to get off to a hot start with that as well. And then, you know, obviously I've scuffled my last few, but I think still trying to get better every day, you know, one pitch at a time. And you know, trusting the regimen, trusting, you know, your eyes, your coaches, and being able to get feedback and, you know, continuing to put that in work to be able to put that in action.
We're talking with Chris Flexen, the Cubs' fine right-hander, here on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. Chris, the league has changed a lot since you came into it in 2017 with the Mets, and starting pitching roles and bullpen roles continue to be in a state of flux. You come here and you got 111 career starts, and you are in a bullpen where you're used in a variety of different ways. Mentally, physically, how big of an adjustment is that for somebody who at one point in time defined himself as a pretty good starter in Major League Baseball, and now you're having to be used at times you might not expect, and times where you just have to go in and get out for Craig Counsell?
Yeah. You know, even starting this year in AAA, I was a starter, and then, you know, get called up here. You know, they saw me as a bullpen fit to kind of eat up some bulk innings at times when needed. And honestly, I've just kind of embraced that role and, you know, try to go after it and be a competitor that I am. And, you know, there's not much to it. If you overlook into it too much, oh, I want to be this, I want to be that, you know, you get caught up in all the crap. But, you know, it's an opportunity to compete. You know, I love playing here at Wrigley. I think this, the squad that we have is an awesome squad. They're fun to watch play. And, you know, it's being in that type of a competitive environment is truly exciting. So any way to help out, it's been pretty fun.
The one thing that resonates for me covering the team all the time is the idea that you guys, more than just as teammates, truly like each other as people. When you get a group together, 26 people, in any environment, it's hard to find that. Can you help define what brings that all together? Is it is it just the type of veterans meshed with young players, or the Justin Turners of the world bringing people together? What is that dynamic like for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think our veterans do an amazing job with that, and I think that's just the culture they have here with the Cubs. Bringing in guys that they know will fit their culture. But yeah, you get guys who have done it for, 14, 15 years. The guy just gets it, and he's phenomenal in that clubhouse, the way he talks about the game, and he's able to break things down to anybody, veteran guys, young guys. Just the experience alone is priceless. And I think all of our veterans do a pretty good job of, keeping guys together and being able to, keep that unity. And it's when you're able to do that with a team, you get 26 guys to get behind it and stuff. You could do something pretty special.
Chris, so I think you're familiar with outside the clubhouse. We talk a lot about, boy, when the Cubs get a pitcher, they'll put him in the lab and they'll use whatever they need to do, and he'll come out better for the experience. And we talk about a lot of pitchers who might be traded to the Cubs at the deadline as well. Once the Cubs get him, and once Hottavy gets his hands on him, they're going to be much better and they're going to be fine. Is there a way to summarize that process? What happens when you get to the Cubs, and how this pitching infrastructure we often refer to in vague terms, what specifically that entails? Because it does make a lot of difference for a lot of guys who come to the Cubs and seem to be better for the experience.
Yeah, I mean, in my experience, when I got there in spring training, I went straight into the lab, and they were able to get, high-speed cameras, look at some metrics, and I think they kind of already had an idea based on previous stuff that they had seen on me. So, as soon as I got in, got on the lab, and then we were able to kind of sit down with Hottavy, Casey, Zombro, the whole pitching department there, who have been phenomenal, and obviously their track record speaks for itself. But, we were able to sit down and kind of break down the key points that they thought were, going to help me get better. And, I think that's something they do. And I think they do an extremely good job of recognizing certain points where it's not even drastic changes. Like for me, I was able to just kind of, I got away from myself. So I was able to drop my arm slot back into a spot where I was in the past. So, I think just their track record alone and what they're able to do speaks for itself, and they've been phenomenal.
So every day, when we get to talk to Counsell, I try to loosen him up a little bit. he's a really smart guy, as we know, and a terrific manager. But, you know, I like yesterday I said, you know, how about telling a joke, you know, today? And what is your experience like with counsel? And, you know, when I talk to other players and coaches, they say, you know, he's really a pretty subtly funny guy, being on top of all the good things that he brings to the club.
Yeah, I mean, obviously between the lines, you know, your focus is a little different and you're trying to win games. And I think the competitor comes out and you see glimpses of him, you know, off outside the lines where, you know, he's able to crack some smiles and stuff. But my experience has been great so far. I've had some conversations with him at times and, you know, we're still able to keep things light. Like I said, in between the lines, he's on go mode and, you know, he's competing. He's ready to win a game.
Chris, thanks so much for your time this morning. I hope that wish you the best of luck the rest of the way and this weekend against the White Sox.
And by the way, no matter what you did in a game yesterday, and it didn't necessarily work out, you stood up and said, yeah, I'm coming on your show tomorrow. So I appreciate that very much. You know, some guys would have taken the easy way out. You did not. So thanks a lot. I look forward to seeing you at the ballpark, Chris.
Appreciate that, guys. Thanks for having me on. Yep.
Chris Flexen, Cubs right-hander.
Reliever. After the game.
Yeah.
I said, you know, it didn't work out for you or the team. You gave up a three-run homer. I said, if you want to do it at some other time. He said, no, I told you I'm coming on. I'm coming on.
He had a tough night. And frankly, you know, this is somebody who's been dealing with a pretty good season up to the last couple outings, as he referenced. But he's a valuable member of that bullpen. And I think he means a lot to this group that is going to be a little bit maybe reconfigured again at the deadline. But Chris Flexen has been better than people expected.
Well, the question you asked him, David, was really the essential one, and it really strikes to the heart of a lot of the Cubs' improvement, is the dedicated work the pitching guys do there and how they are able to get the very best out of guys who have pitched well before but came to the Cubs trying to start over again. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at Flexen, you look at Brad Keller, you know, Pomerantz hadn't pitched in the major leagues for 4 years, right?
Colin Ray even. I mean, there are guys who to the Cubs and they do something.
The proof is there.
I thought he summarized it really pretty well in terms of just specifically what goes on. But the other thing is, Bruce, and this is difficult, and I can't speak to this, but you have to have a receptive audience. You've got to have a veteran who may have struggled and knows that they're coming here, and you have to be open-minded to all the new information and the new approach that maybe they may be suggesting, and then you got to execute. And he's definitely executed.
Well, and the makeup of these guys, I can tell you, is off the chart. But the reality, what you just talked about, where you've tried everything you can, you've been a successful major league pitcher, and you come here, and now you're not, mm-hmm. right? Okay, maybe that's what every pitcher needs to do from time to time. I just go back to Verlander going to the Astros, a successful pitcher, and then him telling me the next year, you know what? I went there and they improved me. Mm-hmm. They made me better than a Cy Young Award winner. I learned a different grip on my breaking ball that was all the difference for me. So when you have that as far as your technical advisors and your pitching people or hitting people, it makes a big difference.
Chris Flexen had a tough year last year with the White Sox, 3-15, and then he comes to the Cubs with a minor league contract, and he, as he pointed out, began the season as a starter. Now he's part of a bullpen that includes former starters like Pomerantz, like Brad Keller. Now you have Chris Flexen. They're out-getters in the context of the Cub bullpen and the way that Craig Counsell looks at things. And they are now in the point where this next few days are going to dictate how they're going to finish the season based on how they get a starter. They need another starting pitcher. And even we've talked the term, but why don't they just try, you know, would they ever try to go to Brad Keller as a fifth starter? What are they going to do tomorrow with a TBD? You know, is it back to Ben Brown?
It's an off day for you.
It's an off day for me tomorrow?
Yeah. Can you?
I am not pitching tomorrow. Okay. No, I'm not pitching tomorrow. My arm is sore.
I'm guessing Ben Brown might be the choice tomorrow for the Cubs.
And then do you go to an opener for Ben Brown? Do you need to do that?
I don't know if you can afford it after having to use the pitchers you did over the last week.
312-644-6767. How do you feel about what you saw last night in terms of from the Cubs and what you've seen over the last week? The White Sox, they're as hot as any team in the American League. 6-1 their first seven games out of the All-Star break. They've scored 61 runs. They're hot. The Cubs, not so much. They lose a series to the Royals. They get beat by the White Sox 12-5, and it wasn't that close. What do you think, Cub fans? Let us know. 312-644-6767. Let's go to the phone lines. Paul is in Valparaiso. He's been on hold. Paul, thanks for waiting, and welcome inside the clubhouse.
Hey, good morning, fellas. You've been talking all day about getting the starting pitchers and relief help as far as, you know, going all in. And, you know, a couple things. Until they get that relief help, which probably is not going to be until the 31st. I mean, I think the deadline will be the actual impetus to make them make a move. But, you know, let's talk about Tucker. I mean, he is a great player, and he started off great, but he's really looked bad the last month. And it doesn't help that you have a left fielder who really can't hit at all and really looks uninterested. So, I mean, Joe Maddon would have done this. I don't think they're going to do this, but why not have Hap go on like a, you know, fake DL and try to bring Casey up to maybe like inject some energy into this crew? It is a great team, and I think that they're very steady, and that's Council's big thing. You know, he never shows emotion. But there's not a lot of, like, life in the team. And then I think until they get these pitching reinforcements, the offense is going to have to carry them. And if they're going to do that, they need the $500 or $600 million man to actually do something.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate the phone call. Bruce, no doubt about it, Kyle Tucker has struggled in July.
Dealt with a lot of injuries, and I give him a tremendous amount of credit for being out on the field. That's the one thing about athletes and baseball players as you get toward the latter part of the year, you see him bang into walls. You see him take awkward dives. This guy's dealt with a bunch of really minor serious errors. If that is incongruent, I understand it. But the idea is
nagging injuries, playing through pain,
hitting a ball about 100 miles an hour off of your knee, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like he did the other day.
Tough guy. He stayed
in the game. He ended up stealing home in that game, right? And then he was rested the next day so he could get 2 days in a row off. So these guys are banged up. There's no doubt we're not seeing the best version of him in right field.
Do the Cubs have an Ian Happ dilemma? Do they have a problem by that? I asked that. Let me try to explain what I mean by that. Loyal, solid, good teammate, good leader, gold glove. But boy, Bruce, he's not hitting this year. And they moved him down, but it hasn't really helped.
So they played the whole year with four outfielders, Suzuki being the fourth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most teams have five, okay? Minimum of five. So they don't really have the, you know, Bruhan is the only, oh, he'll go out there, but, you know, with all due respect, he's not the guy you want in the lineup every day.
No, so he's not.
So really, the choices are minimal, you know. And again, you know, Casey coming up from the minor leagues, you know, that might be a step too far. But on the other hand, when they are slumping in left and in right, the offense is impacted, and we've seen that a little bit in this streak where they've lost 4 out of 5.
One more quick question before we get back to a phone call. Tomorrow, the Cubs are likely to start Ben Brown. Matthew Boyd is slated to start against Milwaukee. Matthew Boyd could be pitching on his regular rest tomorrow. Why is he given an extra day, and are the Cubs taking advantage of what they view as a break in the schedule with the White Sox and saving Matthew Boyd for the Brewers?
No, I think they're you know, if you notice what they did with Boyd, he pitched on 9 days rest the last time out, meaning he passed on pitching in the All-Star game, mm-hmm. which was really something you should tip your hat to him about, saying the regular season's more important than the All-Star game, and they gave him 8 days off, right, mm-hmm. before he pitched. So the key is he's coming back from Tommy John surgery 2 years ago, and it's unknown territory as far as his innings right now. They're trying to be smart about it, and that's why he's pitching on Monday.
Let's squeeze in a phone call. Dave is in Roseland. Dave, thank you for waiting. Welcome inside the clubhouse.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call, and I really enjoy you both during the week as well, so thank you. I'm always happy to see traded Cubs do well, say LeMahieu or Soler, mm-hmm. or it looks like now Cam Smith. So I, trading any of the minor leaguers, it just seems like a good idea to have trade go well for the other team. With the blocked minor leaguers, say like Long, Ballesteros, Trianos, would you package them with say like a Wicks or perhaps even a Reese McGuire if Amaya is close enough? Are you averse to trading any of those folks? And if you were to keep one of the two major minor league outfielders, which would you keep? Would you keep Alcantara or would you keep Casey?
Thanks, Dave. Good phone call and question. Bruce, I'm inclined to say Owen Casey just because of the season he's had. But I do understand some of these other names that Dave mentioned are hot prospects, highly rated, with bright futures. And I think the Cubs might
Alcantara
be more
willing. Is their best defensive outfielder in the minor leagues. And he's got power. And he's, you know, other teams are going to want
he's
him.
He's younger too, right?
So going into this season, Casey was far behind what Alcantara was as far as their ratings.
Okay.
Okay. Because he had been injured at the end of last 2024. He missed the entire spring training with a, with a groin issue. So he wasn't as much on the radar. Now he's been one of the more dominant minor league hitters over the last month. So all of a sudden it's like, you know, they've always liked him as a hitter. But what I'm saying is he's at the top of where, you know, the organization. He's their number one prospect right now.
He's a number one prospect. Alcantara is still somebody they could get something for and has a bright future.
Ballesteros is an interesting
number. He is an interesting one because his hit profile is very high, but I don't know what he has a position. He has to be a designated hitter.
Right.
He's not going to catch in anybody's organization, let alone the Cubs, correct?
No, next year Suzuki's going into a walk year, mm-hmm. I believe.
I don't want to talk about next year.
Okay.
No, I don't want
well,
to,
when you're
I,
gonna
I don't
trade
want to talk about
in,
next year.
Dave.
When I you, have tunnel vision
David,
right now, Bruce.
When you're going into...
I can't hear you. I can't see
trading
you.
Trading deadline.
I'm looking at Cade Horton tonight going 7 scoreless. I'm looking at July 31st as a trade deadline. Then I might got my sights set in October. Do not talk to me about 2026.
Well, that means you're never going to be a general manager.
I don't want to be a general manager. I just want
you
to second guess
them. Every day on the radio.
I know. It's much better. It's much easier.
Yeah. It's like...
My phone doesn't ring as often.
If it doesn't work out, you still go to Dairy Queen.
Oh, I love Dairy Queen. I love Dairy Queen. Nothing better than a blizzard.
Yeah, no ulcer for you.
I could live not very healthily, but I think if I could, I could live off DQ and KFC.
Wait, what's your top choice there?
Oh, I like the Oreo Blizzard or the
very
cookie
nice.
Dough Blizzard. Yeah, I love the Buster Bar. Grew up on Buster Bars. Give me a good Dilly Bar, butterscotch Dilly Bar. I don't know, Bruce. I could spend all morning and talking about Dairy Queen specialties.
Sean, bring back that Dilly Bar thing.
Love the Dilly Bar. Yeah.
I'll see what I can do here for you. Okay. I like the frozen hot chocolate. That's my favorite.
We got Jonathan Cannon coming up after the break, but don't miss tomorrow. The Score's next broadcast of Sky Basketball, hosting the Indiana Fever at the United Center. Layla Rahimi, Kylan Mills, and Kate Constable on the call. Coverage begins 1:45 on 105.9 FM HD2 and the Odyssey app. And, of course, right here on 670 The Score. Jonathan Cannon, when we get back, it's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
0-2. Got him swinging. Yeah.
Changeup down and away once again, man. He is absolutely rolling with that changeup.
Swinging a miss. Jonathan Cannon's got that good stuff working.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Hall.
Welcome back Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David Hall, Bruce Levine here until 11 o'clock. We're waiting to connect with Jonathan Cannon, the fine White Sox young right-hander who, I didn't realize this, but you look at it closely, he did not have great stuff the other night, but he certainly stayed in the game. That was the big comeback. But the Sox have won the last five times that Jonathan Cannon has started since he returned from a little bit of a layoff with an injury on June 29th. The Sox have won every one of his five starts, so he has been more consistent. The White Sox have, I think, the strength of their organization, aside from the 61 runs, Bruce, that they've scored in the first seven games out of the break, young pitching is the foundation of this rebuild.
Yeah, I mean, Cannon, he didn't last five the last time out, but he struck out nine, okay? So he came on strong at the end. He gave up four runs in the first inning he pitched. You know, this is part of the growth for some of their young pitchers. And I think, you know, they have terrific young arms that have to be watched and nurtured along the way. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how Chris Getz and Will Venable bring some of those arms around in the second half, but at the same time, quote unquote, protecting them from throwing too many innings. I still don't believe that there's any proof that that can be done properly.
What's the latest with Shane Smith? The ankle injury since the All-Star break, haven't seen him.
Yeah, I think he's going to be activated. I think they're ready to bring him back.
Shane Smith, Sean Burke, Jonathan Cannon, Davis Martin. You've got four guys there that they feel pretty good about moving forward. And certainly the additions of Adrian Houser and Aaron Civale have been veterans who have contributed. Houser certainly more so than Civale. Civale, is he a guy that you envision being moved, Bruce? Or what is his role moving forward? Innings eater for the Sox if he stays?
I think it's more likely that he stays with the White Sox and eats up a lot of innings in the second half. I think that's the type of pitcher. He could help somebody else, but what are you getting for him?
Not much.
Is he more valuable?
Not much.
Eating up innings for you so that your young guys can be brought along the way that you want them to in the second half.
All right, speaking of young guys, let's pivot to this as we wait for Jonathan Cannon. I think Colson Montgomery, you know, I've always liked his prospects. I like him as a young shortstop. They brought him up, and I think they're 10-7 since they brought up Colson Montgomery. Home runs in three straight games. I think he should play shortstop every day. And I think Chase Myers should play second every day. I like that combination. Will Venable was asked before the game yesterday in the biggest media contingent I think that he has faced all season long. And
must have been a great reporter whoever asked this question.
You asked him this question, and I would love it, Bruce, because this is what he had to say.
My communication with him was really, you know, the first week that he got here and just kind of let him know that he was going to play short the first few games and that we were going to introduce third at some point and that he should be prepared to play both every day. So beyond that, I haven't communicated with him. You know, if he's not in the lineup for a reason as a regular, I'll let him know. But otherwise, he knows to expect to be ready at both positions.
Quick answer, Bruce. What's more surprising, the fact that the Sox aren't playing him at shortstop every day or the fact that Will Venable decided basically they don't have to communicate with them on a regular basis their decisions?
So this is an organization decision, not a Will Venable in my mind. With your number one guy who got here, and to their credit and give Colson credit, he's really looked like a major league player since he came up after having to take a timeout, go to Arizona, not being able to hit. Instead of sending him to Double-A, they gave him a timeout. He came back and he's fitting in with those really good young White Sox players right now.
And there are a lot of them in that clubhouse. One of them will join us right now on the Circuit Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circuit app today. Right-hander Jonathan Cannon joins us on the clubhouse. Good morning, Jonathan. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Let's start right there. How much fun is it to be in that White Sox clubhouse these days?
Oh, man, it's great. It's always fun to kind of heat up as a team and win some games. So we're definitely enjoying it, looking to keep it going tonight.
When you look at your situation, David and I were talking about this before you got on the line with us, and that is we know in the last couple months of the season that they're going to watch some of the innings pitch for you and the other young pitchers. My theory is there's no evidence that watching innings prevents young guys from either being healthy or getting hurt. I want to know what your personal theory is on that, and whether you know you're going to be on page with them by watching innings as the season goes down.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's tough, and I think there's a lot of different opinions kind of surrounding pitch counts, innings limits, like just with kind of the pandemic of injuries that we've had in our game over the last couple years. For me personally, I threw 125 innings in the big leagues last year, but I also threw 46, 47 in AAA. So I threw almost 170 innings last year. So there hasn't been any conversation or communication with me about being limited at all. I'm pretty much just full go for the rest of the year. We do have a couple guys that haven't thrown that amount of innings yet, and I think that it can be beneficial to kind of limit some of those innings. It's once you kind of get into September, late August, September, that's when last year, especially for me, it really started to catch up with me a little bit. You just find yourself a lot more sore between starts. Those 5 days in between start feeling a little bit shorter. And it's definitely a tough adjustment. So I think sometimes that some of those limits definitely can be beneficial to guys.
Does it count that the team wasn't good and that the idea is more personal than team-wise when a team is as bad as you guys were last year? Does that come into the equation at all when you're a competitor?
I think that, I mean, being a competitor, it's kind of easy to talk about a little bit now when you're kind of zoomed out, but like when you're in the moment, you're in the thick of it. And sort of like I was last year, all you're focused on is going out and winning the game that day. Like whether you were limited or not, we said last year, that if we were limited, we didn't want to know about it. Like we were going to go out and just go pitch until they took the ball from us. And that's just kind of the mindset I feel like you have to have is we're all competitors. We want to win as much as anyone. We want to beat the other team. We want to dominate a lineup when we pitch. And so we're going out there, limits or not, trying to pitch the best we can every day.
Joined by Jonathan Cannon of the White Sox here on 670 The Score. Jonathan, the other night you really recovered well from a tough first inning when you gave up four runs. You ended up striking out nine, and that was one of the more exciting White Sox victories of the season. But since you've come back on June 29th, all five of your starts have resulted in and ended with White Sox victories. You have been pretty sharp since returning. What has been the secret to your success over the past month?
Yeah, I mean, I really feel like kind of before I had that back flare up, I was really in a good rhythm. I felt like I was throwing all my pitches the way that I wanted to, kind of had a good stretch of starts there, and then got scratched from that start against Texas with the back spasms, and then kind of battled it the next two starts and just didn't really feel like myself and kind of had those two really bad ones and ended up on the IL. But I really felt like before those two starts, I was in a really good rhythm. I had a rehab start in AAA, and then kind of my first start back against San Francisco, trying to just kind of find that rhythm again, get the off-speed work in, make sure all the pitches are moving the way I want them to. And then after that start against San Francisco, I felt like I kind of found that rhythm again. And I feel like I still have that rhythm. Obviously, sometimes you get beat by the other team. The Rays got to me a little bit early. They had a good game plan. We were able to kind of counteract that after the first couple hitters. So just kind of looking to kind of ride the momentum of the last couple innings into my next start.
Jonathan Cannon joining us for a few more minutes on Inside the Clubhouse. Jonathan, when you look for leadership on a young team as a reporter like myself, you know, I try to see how that's evolving, and maybe there's not one leader. Maybe you guys, because you're a lot of young guys together, are growing as leadership. What is that dynamic like? Obviously, it starts with Will Venable and the coaching staff, but how does it evolve in the room?
Yeah, I mean, I think when it comes to leadership and just the leadership within a clubhouse, obviously it starts with the manager, and then obviously the position guys are spending a lot of time with the hitting coach, the infield coaches, the pitchers are spending a lot of time with the pitching coaches, Katz and Wise. But I really feel like this year everyone is really on the same page. I feel from the top down, the messaging is clear. Everyone kind of knows what they need to do, what they need to improve on, like what everyone's working on. And I know it's like that. I can't speak as much as the position players because I don't spend as much time with them. But from the pitching side, I really feel like right now, like everyone is on the same page, fighting for the same goal. And when it comes to every single night, everyone is ready to do whatever it takes to win a game. And we got a lot of young guys on the team. But even as a starter, having guys like Savali, Hauser, and just being able to bounce ideas off of them. Obviously, the starters, we spent a lot of time together. So talking to them about their experiences and especially watching Hauser pitch the way he has over the last couple months has been super fun to watch. And so just seeing what he's thinking on a daily basis and how he's going about everything has been beneficial to all of us.
Last question for Jonathan Cannon here. Before this month began, I think there were some questions and things started going the right direction. The process was getting a lot of attention, Jonathan. Now the outcomes are favorable. You're 10-10 in the month of July. Throughout the rest of the season, as we move forward, what qualifies as success for this White Sox team? What do you guys want to get out of the remainder of this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think that as a team, I know I touched on this with Chuck Garfine on his podcast maybe about a month and a half ago, and we were kind of talking about how close it felt. And I was talking about how just when it comes to like the young guys and the young team, we have guys like Chase, Colson, Teal, Caro, Brooks, Tim coming up and really finding their footing in the big leagues. And you could just tell we would make some, you know, mistakes that you make as a rookie and you correct them and they don't happen again. We were still making some of those mistakes early in the year, and you could see that it was still kind of wrong. We're still trying to kind of find that cohesiveness as a unit. But I said that I felt like we were so close, and it feels so much different than last year. Like I felt every single game we were going to win, and we were close to winning. And so I think for us to continue to grow and not just let this be a kind of a, hey, we go 8-2 over a 10-game stretch, and then we drop 7 out of 10. So, like, looking for a little bit more consistency as a group, and I think we all want that. And I think we're all really confident in our ability as a team. I think that we are super cohesive. We're feeling good about everything. Everyone's on the same page. Everyone's looking forward to showing up to the yard every day. We're looking forward to showing up to the yard tonight. I'm excited to get to the field, be around the guys, and hopefully go put it on the Cubs tonight.
All right, Jonathan Cannon, thank you very much for joining us. Best of luck the rest of the way. Really appreciate your enthusiasm and keep up the good work.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Jonathan Cannon, confident young man, Bruce.
One thing about the White Sox pitchers, they're all very articulate and very responsible about, you know, saying they were either good or not good after a game. It's impressive,
yeah,
to see these young guys, and they won't BS you. They won't BS
fans. No, he wants to put it on the Cubs. I heard him say it.
No, I mean,
they want to put it on the Cubs.
They
They should.
If there's such a thing as a winning attitude to go along with their ability, these young Sox pitchers have it.
The young Sox pitchers, the young Sox position players, this youthful enthusiasm and exuberance is noticeable.
We're not saying this is a winning team yet.
No.
Okay?
No.
We're saying that some of these parts are in place and White Sox fans are getting to watch
it. It's a work in progress.
Right.
They're forming their collective attitude.
Kind of like our show.
I don't know if we can be helped at this point.
I don't know
about
your collective attitude. But
well, I think you've got a bad attitude sometimes,
Bruce.
I do
have a bad attitude. Well, I bring that every week.
That's what we count on. There's an audience for that and a market for that. We'll be back here to wrap up that because we have to talk about the Baseball Hall of Fame, a very special induction tomorrow in Cooperstown. Keep it right here. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
So with one out, here is Richie Allen. Allen has faced Lindy McDaniel many times in the National League. There's a long drive, deep center, way back, it might be. It could be. Hey, almost into the net. Holy cow.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Dick Allen goes into the Cooperstown Baseball Hall of Fame tomorrow. He will go in with Dave Parker, CeCe Sabathia, Ichiro Suzuki, and Billy Wagner. Billy Wagner is a guy that I voted for him. It's interesting. But Dick Allen is a story here in Chicago.
I will tell you this much. If they were doing exit velocity when Dick Allen played, the balls would be 120 to 125 miles an hour. Okay. Nobody hit a ball harder with more velocity than Dick Allen and Frank Howard. No one in the history of the game. I guarantee you that. Okay. Just guarantee you that.
He was MVP. He was Rookie of the Year. And he's now where he belongs in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Congratulations to Dick Allen.
And our good friend Tom Hamilton, Tom Boswell, the writer, go in today in their perspective mode of being in the Hall of Fame. Congrats to our good friend Tom.
Bruce, thank you for setting up everything with our guests, with Jonathan Cannon and Chris Flexen and Bob Nightingale, and thank you for the hard work that you put in during the week.
And thanks for always making me accountable every single Saturday.
Okay? And every single day at the Mullin Haw Show when you're there.
Yep.
I appreciate it. So thank you for listening to Inside the Clubhouse. Steve Rosenblum is next. Cubs and Sox tonight back here on the Score pregame, 5:35, first pitch, 6:10. Talk to you on Monday on Mullin Haw. It's Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.